we kind of thought that when fans took over comics, they would be better. But actually, it was when there was a bunch of grumpy old men who didn't care about what they were doing that produced like the greatest stuff, and were able to like wring every possible
Dave,
change.
You know, Dan works in comics today. Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And, you know, again, that would be enough, but we have a guest here that we've been trying to get for a while, and we've cornered him, literally in his own hotel room. He's got nowhere to run. You might know him from Archie Comics, Betty and Veronica. You might know him from Kevin Keller. You might know him just from the Archie Comics themselves. We know him as the guy sitting across from us. It's Dan Parent.
Hello.
Hi, Dan.
Dan, thank you for inviting us into your hotel room.
Yeah, it's great.
Oddly entertaining.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When Dan came back from the con, we were here already.
Yeah.
And I know we didn't tell you we were going to be here.
Making the best of it.
We told them that we were your uncles, and they let us up. So yeah. It's very nice of them, actually.
Yeah, those of you planning on stalking somebody, uncles is a way
uncles
to go.
Is the best way to go. Yeah,
good security here.
We found it worked. I don't know why.
Now, we're on the last day of the Emerald City Comic Con. Mm-hmm. How'd the con go for you?
Oh, it was great. Great. It was very busy all 3 days, very steady. Great crowds, a lot of excited fans. So it was wonderful. All ages.
Everyone seemed to be in front of your, everyone who was in front of your table seemed to be smiling. Mm-hmm. And I think like Archie Comics is an interesting thing in that people don't normally think, comics are made by people, but Archie Comics seem to just, they seem to just arrive like in a cabbage patch or something. They're fully formed. But seeing you actually draw the characters, people are just enraptured.
Yeah. Yeah. People like to, they usually stop when I am drawing. They love to like walk by and watch you. But, and people are just very appreciative. They just come up and they're like, oh my God, I grew up on Archie. I love Archie. And it does bring a smile to a lot of people's faces.
Yeah. I think a lot of people too, if they have any interest in art, have tried drawing those characters and have done a fair job and think good enough. Mm-hmm. But then seeing someone able to actually like, oh, that's how you, it's
tricky.
Yeah. It is tricky. It's tricky. Like, it's like drawing, Charlie Brown. It's
or
like,
it looks or like Tintin.
Or Tintin. It looks like the simplest thing in the world. But the simplest thing in the world, when done slightly wrong, now looks like the biggest thing in the world.
Right, right. Especially if you're drawing like Betty and Veronica, one little line off and they're not Betty and Veronica.
Now, what is the difference in drawing Betty and Veronica? For those who are drawing at home.
Technically, like there's not a difference in their body and really in their face. But like when I draw Veronica, usually like the eyebrows are more arched. Mm-hmm. There's like a more of a sneer. When I draw her.
Okay.
So that's the expression is like the difference. But you know, anatomically they're the same.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is your favorite aside from your own work? Let's take that out of the thing. What's your favorite era of Archie?
I would have to say probably the 60s.
Yeah.
60s and into the 70s. I think around the whole you know, the time when like they were big on TV and when Sugar was big and you know, everything was like groovy and psychedelic. I think Dan DiCarlo's artwork, who's my favorite artist, mm-hmm. I think his art was at a peak in the late 60s, early 70s.
He also had a very sexy vibe to the mm-hmm. characters. Like he enjoyed drawing a bit of the good girl art, and I'm not telling tales out of school there. Like he did some good girl art books.
Yeah.
But Betty and Veronica had a bit of a swagger there mm-hmm. that I think later got a little bit more cleaned up. But there's good times being had in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I think that was the if I had to pick the peak, and I also probably I was a kid at that time collecting them, so. Also, it's probably my fondest memories are from that time period. Yeah. So
I got thrown off Archie a little bit because my mom ordered me an Archie comic, and it was I believe it was either called Archie's Madhouse or something, but it was one of those very few Archie hardcore horror comics mm-hmm. that was introduced, I believe, by Sabrina the Teenage Witch,
Tales of Sorcery,
something like yeah. And it was like a story where someone got horribly killed by the end, and it was all still done in the Archie style.
Yeah.
And it was like, what's this all about?
Yeah.
I've never seen one.
And so basically, Archie Comics kind of got banned from our home for a while because it was a good Catholic family, and we weren't having none of that. And then when I told people about it, they were going, do you mean Archie Christian Comics? I'm like, no, I mean the opposite, sir.
Right.
This was direct references to Lucifer himself were in these books.
Well, that was a weird book because I remember it was narrated by Sabrina. Mm-hmm. And then they did bring in like superhero artists like Gray Morrow and artists like that to do these, right. these horror stories. But a couple of them were done by Archie artists. They looked kind of Archie-ish, but I don't think they knew where they wanted that book to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. But there was a couple of like really nicely drawn stories, but I don't know how long that book lasted. I think it came from Madhouse. I think it came from Archie's Madhouse.
Yes, that's what I think so too.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, that was a bit of a bizarre. Yeah, that's my scarring Archie memory. Is that that? And there was also an issue of Josie and the Pussycats where someone got possessed by the devil. That was like those were one of the two first Archie comics related comics I ever picked up. Well, and they were the rare ones that didn't.
They did a Betty and Me book in the late 70s where Betty got possessed. By the devil.
That's right. It was.
No, it wasn't a devil. It was like a pirate.
Oh, it was a pirate. Okay, because there was also like an amulet as well that had something evil that had. I think it was Veronica that got possessed that time. But what was the pirate story?
It was like there was some evil pirate from like the past came and haunted Betty. And she became like, and she was like talking like a pirate. And like it was really weird. And it was called like Betty Cooper. I think they were trying to make like Mary Hartman.
Yeah.
So it was like a soap opera. And there was like three stories going on at once. Like there was one where like I think like Jughead's mother was dying or something like that. And then Betty was possessed and something was going with Archie. So there would be like three stories going on at once. And they did it for a year or two. And
wow.
I think the Betty and Me book was like lagging in sales. So they needed to like do something. It was really weird. It was weird.
Yeah, like a soap opera. I would actually, like, if I was putting that together, I'd go, like, make that, because Archie has been a comic strip as well, make that your Rex Morgan MD type comic strip, and let's get all that business into that. But then I don't run Archie, so that's...
And maybe we're lucky.
Maybe.
So that sounds great to me, that Betty's been possessed by a pirate. Like, that sounds like a great story. When you say it's weird, this sounds fantastic. Like, I grew up with Archie, too. Like it was like the greatest comic to read, like sitting around, we had a pool in the backyard in the summertime. It was like the best thing to read Archie comics by the pool. You know, it was like summertime. That was, to me, Archie still is the comic book for summertime. It just feels mm-hmm. like summer whenever I read it. For me now, what I love is the really old ones, where they're still kind of like, they look like 50s girls. You know, they have the mm-hmm. kind of the knee length skirts and their hair is straight across mm-hmm. And they always walk together and they're always carrying their books in front of them. Mm-hmm. I kind of go quickly through the digest now to look and see if they're in there. And mm-hmm. then if they do have them, then the girls were allowed to buy them. They're not, now I don't really want Archie now that they're old, now that they're older teenagers, but they just, those books, for some reason, I don't know what it is. I just think those stories have a real, dynamic element to them, even though I love the Dan DiCarlo ones mm-hmm. for the look and everything.
Well, those old stories are really good, those ones in the 50s and 40s, because there's a lot of slapstick in those old stories.
Yeah.
Like you could tell they were like following old movies and stuff because, especially the Harry Lucy stories, he was another great 50s artist.
Okay.
And he always drew them with Archie, Mr. Lodge throwing Archie, across the yard and stuff. And like nowadays, you couldn't get away with that anymore.
Yeah.
Jughead, slipping and falling and all kinds of crazy stuff. They kind of lost that as I guess they went on to like the 60s and 70s and became more realistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jughead was a meaner back then. Like he just, he out and out hated the ladies.
Oh yeah.
He did not care for this nonsense one bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was one where he was calling Veronica, Betty a dog. He goes, look at that dog. Like, it was like so cruel.
Yeah.
Like,
what was, sorry, I'm just going to go one little bit Archie trivia. Maybe you guys remember this.
Okay.
What was it that he didn't want to be called like in the first Archie? Like I don't want to be called Archie. I want to be called Chick.
Chick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then no one ever, called for the history Chick. Of Archie, ever called him Chick again.
I know. Yeah. I think that one issue he was Chick and that was it.
Yeah.
I think it's time to revive that as a long con. Like the longest payoff in the history of comics to pay off that Chick beginning now. Yeah. Do it now. Yeah. Pay it off. Come on.
Now, let's just get a little bit into your history. Mm-hmm. So, what was what got you interested in let's go art?
In art. Well, yeah. When I was a little kid, like many kids, I started with comic books, of course.
Okay.
And
what were your favorites then?
It was Harvey Comics.
Okay.
It was Casper, yeah. Yes. G. Rich and Hot Stuff, and all that stuff. And then then into Archie shortly thereafter. And I remember when I was, I guess I was like five. So it was like 1969. I remember my mother used to clean houses, and she would bribe me to go with her because I'd have to sit there while she cleaned houses. So she'd buy me comic books. She'd buy for like a dollar. It was like six comic books. It was mm-hmm. crazy. And I remember it was like Richie Rich. And I remember, I think my first Archie comic was a Josie from 1969.
Okay, good.
But it would be, you know, I was very, you know, just loved them. I'd reread them. And then just started drawing. Just started trying to draw them. And I remember like first grade and getting my report card back, and it was just covered with like attempts at drawing Archie and Richie Rich, and you know, it just, for whatever reason, that was all I wanted to do from that age. And you know, a little later on, of course, I got into the superhero stuff like everyone else.
Yeah.
And but you know, I always I loved Harvey Comics a lot. I wish, yeah. I that was my biggest regret, is they were out of business before I had a chance to try and do any work for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would have loved that.
I was able to like write, I wrote the fourth Casper movie. I wrote Casper's Haunted Christmas, which was a direct-to-video thing. And so I did a whole bunch of research then. And yeah, those were great stories.
Yeah.
Like just solid, if you want to know how to tell a story in a short, first, if you can write a story in a short period of time, you can write a story a longer story. But like they just packed so much mm-hmm. into them. So yeah, as a kid, of course, yeah, you're getting your money's worth. Whereas sometimes, again, the superhero ones, to be continued, lost.
Yeah.
That's a 30 days. That's a million years for me as a child. Yeah. If I can find the next issue.
Right.
But Casper, there's three stories for you. Boom. Enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I used to love Hot Stuff was my favorite. Mm-hmm. And just the Richie Rich stories were so cool because he was rich, but he had all these adventures going on. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't, he wasn't like an asshole. He was actually like a nice kid who was rich, who would like share his wealth. And
yeah. I never understood the poor little rich boy bit.
Though. I don't understand either because
he's fine. He's got friends.
He was super popular and fortunate.
Everything's great with that guy. Casper has some problems. Richie's got nothing.
I think it was kind of like Archie's chick, and that it was an early tag, and it never really disappeared.
They liked the way it sounded. The poor idea, little rich boy.
Yeah, that's really the tagline. Yeah, you're right.
Because it has that. If you read the one of the Dark Horse collections, the Richie Rich one, there is the early story of him, which is kind of like a poor little Lord Fauntleroy kind of story, where he's wants to be with the other kids out in the sandlot playing baseball with them and not in his home practicing his dance steps.
Mm-hmm.
And so he creates, using a record player, he creates some sort of a mock couple or mock dancing thing. And then he goes outside and plays baseball. And then he proves he's as tough as the other kids, you know, because they won't accept him because he's got short pants or whatever. You know,
yeah.
He's like with his bow tie and he's just a sissy.
Little Lord Fauntleroy. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And so then... And then, you know, then he has to climb back into his window. And then when his mom comes in, he's still doing whatever he's supposed to be doing, playing. And so, you know, it's that aspect of, you know, poor boy. He's so wealthy. He can't be like other kids. And I guess you're supposed to, I guess maybe when kids read it, they'd feel sorry for him. Like, that's terrible. You can't go outside and play baseball with your friends. You know, you have to be in the house practicing violin or whatever. Boo.
There was one I remember he was playing with his friends, Freckles and Pee-wee, were his poor friends.
Yeah.
And I remember he was playing with them in some like lot or something. And then his father drives by in this limousine. He's like, "What are you doing? Get in the car!" Like you, like what a snob.
Yeah.
Yeah, they toned that down. Like
they did.
I think one thing
they did to a degree, but then there's stories where like he's playing in the sandlot, let's say, and the next thing you know, his dad has turned it into like a professional baseball team around him, and just ruined it.
Oh, doesn't enjoy the simple things.
Yeah, it just ruined all the fun of it by turning it into some sort of competition or real professionals, and it just can't be fun. It has to have all this, you know, fancy stuff added to it, you know.
And I remember he always got like $100,000 a week for allowance.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he would and then there was like, he would be bored, so he'd like build like huts out of his money, you know, like they were playing in, you know, he just was so bored with all that cash.
And then like all the covers were just something like he's at the zoo and like a zebra's pooping money out, you know, just money.
In a dollar sign shape.
Dollar sign, yeah.
Yeah. And then actually reading that Richie Rich collection, the most irritating part of it was the Gloria part. Where he just seems like an insane nut stalking her all the time with billboards and skywriting and $100,000, you know, bouquet of roses and chocolates. And he's kind of like, this poor girl, like, leave her alone, man. Like,
and she would always get mad when he would spend money on
it.
Yes.
Like, she didn't want the wealth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what she said.
Yeah. I didn't believe her.
Well, it was the era we could have a comic character where it was, what kids wanted to be. So like, even you had a little Lotta and you go like, oh, little Lotta, is that just a bunch of fat jokes? No. Look at little Lotta.
Yeah.
Here's what she does. She eats whatever she wants and is incredibly strong.
Yeah.
Any kid not like that whole eating all the ice cream you want and then you're super powerful strong? No, boom. That's great.
She could lift up cars and
she's fine.
Yeah. And incredibly kind-hearted and helpful. So she's know, like, and had lots of friends. It wasn't like it didn't ostracize her.
But the gags in the cover are always funny because there was like one I always remember where she's at carrying the food from the hot lunch, and it's like there's like a mountain of food, like no one can carry this food, and I just heard that cover so well. And then she was friends with Little Dot.
That's right.
Little Dot was insane.
Which you would think is a one note, like, how much can we milk that cow? Like, what's her deal? She really loves dots. Write a million stories.
For 30 years, I guess they milked that character but she was insane.
Yeah.
But Little Dot was actually, you know, today she would be diagnosed with some kind of schizophrenia.
Oh, she's obsessive compulsive disorder. Absolutely. From the start.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, when she would get hit in the head and see spots, she'd be smiling. Yeah,
that's a cover. Problem. There's a cover for you. But there's a Little Lotta story in one of those Dark Horse collections. Again, and I think she's having a dream where she's an Eskimo, and there's a panel of it where she's got two knives in her hands, and she's sliding with the knives dug into a whale, cutting this giant layer of blubber off this whale. It is the most disgusting, disturbing. Like, you just feel like, oh, this is too much. This is like Roman level decadence. Like, this is terrible. You know, like, it's horrible.
And the weird thing about Little Lotta too is she had a boyfriend named Gerald who looked just like Richie Rich.
That's right.
He had a bow tie and blue shorts. Yeah. The only thing difference was he had glasses and his hair was combed back, but it was Richie Rich.
And didn't he wear like a cap?
He wore a cap too.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was like, but he was kind of he was truly like the kind of weak milk character,
absolutely.
Milk and toast character.
Well, he never got to eat anything.
Well, no. Poor guy. That's right. That's right. He really, literally, that's all he had was milk
and
toast.
What was the little character in the, I mean, obviously Little Dot, Little Lot. Was it Little Aubrey? Was that the other
little
one?
Little Audrey.
Audrey, who was sort of like your little Lulu, little Iodine.
She was based,
of that group.
It might have been Little Iodine that they had a license for one of those characters, like Little Iodine or something, and they lost it.
Yeah.
And so they created Little Audrey as a replacement for that.
I think I heard something too that they wanted to do like a Little Lulu cartoon, and there were Little Lulu cartoons, but Paramount couldn't get Little Lulu.
You're right.
So they created Little Audrey.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct.
And then Harvey, of course, you know, took on Little Audrey, and then she became one of the Harvey characters. But she was relatively normal. She had
no gimmick.
Right.
There was no hook.
She was mischievous, and that was about it.
Yeah, her gimmick was copyright violation.
right.
Like, everyone went, is that Little Lulu coming down? Oh, no, it's a totally different person. Every gag was that. Are you sure that's not Little Lulu? No, it's not at all. Just Little Lulu.
Well, we were talking about this. We were talking about this with another guest on the show, and I was just saying it's so amazing to me how, like, you know, it's we kind of thought that when fans took over comics, they would be better. But actually, it was when there was a bunch of grumpy old men who didn't care about what they were doing that produced like the greatest stuff and were able to like wring every possible change.
You know, Dan works in comics today.
Yes.
Right? You're saying, he has said he's a fan of the work.
Yeah, that's right.
That seems like a pretty big insult off the top of the show.
I'm just saying.
Or I'm leaving now.
You can't leave. You live here.
I'm leaving this room.
I just want to give these guys some credit because I just think they just wrung so many changes out of those characters. And you're doing it too. You're working in Archie comics. I mean, that is something where you have a limited palette of colors that you can paint those characters.
Well, and sometimes the limitations make you more creative. Like now with our new management, they're very letting us be creative.
Okay.
Let's do a lot of stuff.
Let's get into that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
But the older management was not so open-minded.
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, you kind of like, oh God, what can I do this? But sometimes it does create you to think a little harder to get around it.
Sure.
So.
Well, something that, something I kind of think is like back in the day, you know, you maybe didn't want to be too outside of the box because you've got your Archie cartoons and we don't want to ruin things for that. And then like maybe there's an Archie movie coming out or maybe an Archie TV show. And right now it feels like Archie comics are all about the comics. The comics aren't the thing. They're not, there's not another art. When you think Archie, you think the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And the comics have gotten, especially in the last, you know, couple of years, really creative. There's just been, you know, a resurgence in the books and it's been going in directions that make people go, what? And what was the start of that? Cause you've been there since that has started happening.
Mm-hmm.
The tide has turned.
Right.
Is it because of you?
I would.
Would you put all of this on you?
It's all because of me.
All right, very good.
Anything successful is because of me. if it wasn't successful, it was someone else's fault. In the last, you know, it's been John Goldwater's been there 5 years now, and about 6 or 7 years ago, the two previous owners, Richard Goldwater and Michael Silberglite, passed away within 6 months of each other.
Oh, okay.
So the old guard kind of changed,
but it's still in the family. Then
it's still in the family.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there was sort of like a period where in between where like, you know, Victor Gorelick, who's been there for 50 years now, over 50, 55 years now, but it was sort of like overseeing things. And there was like a period where we didn't know what was going to happen. It was just sort of like going along. And then John Goldwater, who is, you know, the son of the original John Goldwater, came in and,
do you call him JJ?
No.
Okay.
I can. I'll start. Maybe. Okay. And so he kind of just came in and he was like, you know, he would was looking at what we were doing. And keep in mind that, you know, John is, you know, like 20 years younger than his brother when his brother was running the company.
Right.
Okay.
And, he just sort of was like, bring me ideas and if they're good, we'll do them. It was like that simple. And
wow.
We were just like, you know, he definitely wanted to bring Archie into the 21st century.
Okay.
And he felt there was a lot of things we weren't doing. So we came up with ideas for like, you know, can Archie date a black girl? Can we do things like, you know, as an interracial?
And had he ever in the past done
no.
that? There's never been any crossover with that kind of.
No, you know, there was a couple of covers where Nancy was in a bikini and he may have had a heart around him, but that was as far as it went.
Right.
We were never able to, you know, in the old days, it was sort of like, it wasn't like they were, you know, I would label them racist or anything, but they were afraid to do things that might ruffle feathers somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like sure. If in the Midwest, they were like, well, you know, we have strong sales there. If it ruffles some feathers, let's just not do it just for that reason.
Yeah.
But the new attitude has been, well, who cares what people like or don't like? We're going to do what we want to do.
Which seems like the attitude that everything good comes from, period.
I definitely agree with that.
Well, one thing I think that Archie, before we get into what's now, I think something that was always smart about Archie, regardless of what was happening in modern times, was the digests always printed stuff from the past. Mm-hmm. Like the past material was always incorporated with more modern, so you got a little bit of 50s with 60s with 90s. Mm-hmm. And so Archie never, if you were a fan of Archie, you were used to that, whereas like a Marvel or a DC would never have like a digest where you got a modern story and then like an old-timey Superman story.
Right.
You wouldn't do that like now,
right,
you know?
Right.
But there was always like Archie always seemed like more open to variety than say a modern continuity-based comic that only moves forward in one direction and has a consistent style.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah. Right. So they say to you, just bring in good ideas.
Yeah.
And you brought in...
Well, they said, first of all, we want... The one thing he did say was he wants diversity. He wants new characters, different ethnicities. You didn't want River to be so white bread.
Absolutely.
So that was like one of the first things. And that was an easy change because we had so many ideas for characters to bring in. And then he was on board with Archie dating and, you know, having an interracial romance. And it just happened to be, it wasn't planned to be Valerie from Josie and the Pussycats. It was originally we were going to do Archie and Josie. But that seemed too, I don't know, it seemed kind of generic to me. And then we just threw Valerie in the mix. And that became a really... one of our best stories that we had done.
Now, had Valerie ever had a boyfriend in the past? Was that ever a thing in the
Josie book? You know, she was a main character, but they never really fleshed her character
that
out a lot.
That was of the time. Was just like, and that's good enough.
Yeah, yeah. You knew she was like the brainy one and stuff, but you never really fleshed it out. But it was good because then I had a chance to flesh it out.
Absolutely.
So I just figured, you know, she was like the I kind of thought maybe she was like the main songwriter in the band. That kind of made sense to me. And Archie was in his band, and that's how they got together, was writing songs. And then they just got the chemistry just sort of clicked and whereas Betty and Veronica can be kind of like dopey around Archie, Valerie's not. Like she doesn't put up with his crap. Where Betty and Veronica will, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where that sort of came out of. And then you know, plus in the last few years we've done a lot of, you know, John and bought a lot of other like crazy stuff into like the company, like Archie meets Kiss. Yeah. And you know, stuff like you wouldn't expect to see. If a celebrity likes Archie, we'll try and just, do you want to be in an issue of Archie? So we got like Michael Strahan to be in an issue.
George Takei.
George Takei.
There's been crossovers with Glee.
Glee.
With which Archie's means Glee. That Glee and Kiss are in the same universe, Dave. That's right. What that means. It's they exist know. In the same universe.
They exist
universe.
In the same. So are you saying on the Earth as we know it right now, Kiss and Glee exist
no,
in the same
No, I'm saying
time?
In the Archieverse.
Oh, in the Archieverse. I'm sorry.
The Archieverse. Yeah.
That's a different thing.
And then of course Kevin Keller has been like probably the biggest character we've had in the last few years.
Now, what part did you have in the development of Kevin Keller? And also, who's Kevin Keller to people?
Yeah,
who
Kevin Keller is the first openly gay character in Riverdale, and that came about in a meeting. We were like, you know, talking about different characters. Can we have a gay character in Riverdale? And then John Goldwater was like, you know, why not?
So that's a great attitude, I guess.
So we're like, okay. Yeah, so I just started sketching and you know, at first we had to decide whether it was going to be a male or female character if we were going to have a gay character. And I just created Kevin for selfish reasons because, I was working on the Veronica book and we needed, I just thought, you know, it'd be a great idea to have, this gay guy comes to Riverdale and Veronica has the hots for him and, you know, she can't figure out why she can't get this guy, you know, like why, you know, because she can get any guy she wants. Mm-hmm. And why is this guy turning her down? So that was like the premise of the story. So, you know, that's how it became a guy and how it became Kevin Keller. Then once the story was successful and it clicked, then we were able to create like a whole backstory for Kevin. And, but the main thing was John was saying this is he didn't want us to do a character that was just like a one note character. Like Archie's going to have a gay character. And then we're going to get some publicity out of it, and then it's going to go away.
And then there'll be a moral at the end of the story, and then we will never see Poochie again.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we were very careful not to do that, to make it like a we didn't, you know, we knew it would get attention, because, you know, it hadn't been done before, but we didn't want it to be like a stunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we were very, very determined not to do that. So.
And he's also got a military background.
Right. Like his dad is in the military. Yeah. Well, the story with Kevin was that he was an army brat. So he traveled around the world.
Right. Had any other characters ever dealt with that situation as well? Like being, with any connection to the military. Has that ever been done in Archie Forks?
I don't think so.
And that seems to me to be surprising. Like it seems like it's a very Americana comic, Archie. Mm-hmm. You would think like, well... You know, in a patriotic comic, at some point, someone would mention my brother's going to service, my dad's done this, or... I mean, I know there's been like Archie almost gets drafted.
Right, I was just thinking of that, yeah.
That kind of business, but there's never been any serious a character that's connected in any way to people serving.
And that was actually the idea of Victor Gorelick, because he was in the army back, way back when he started at Archie, went into the service for a few years. And we were trying to give a background for Kevin. We were thinking about, we didn't want to do the thing where like the cliche where, you know, Kevin comes out and his parents want to disown him. We didn't want to go that route. We wanted to go the other way, mm-hmm. where his parents were, you know, very accepting. And then Victor was like, he brought up the idea of the army background. And we thought it was a great story angle because having Kevin being an army brat and traveling around the world, it was a way to, incorporate different people that he'd met around the world and friends that he had to either leave or, you know, that he made along the way. So it was a really good story angle mm-hmm. to work with. And, so from that point on, we've just sort of evolved the character of Kevin, you know, a little bit. Like we said, like you said, we had George Takei guest starred in a book, which was a real highlight. And, people have been very, have really embraced the character. There was some people who weren't happy, but you know, for every one person who wasn't happy, there was like 25 more people that liked it. So it was a good exchange.
Yeah. And there's people who are quietly happy, but just are not, I mean, there's probably a lot of people that can't write to you and go, thanks. This is great. Thanks. But it's making a difference, mm-hmm. Again, it's also, funny first and it's just a good character and also makes good stories.
Yeah.
But
and that's the most important thing. Yeah. The stories have to be entertaining first.
Right.
And the Kevin stories sometimes have been a little more serious with a little more message, but we don't want to ever get so preachy that it's like an after school special.
You don't want the guy coming in with his gluten intolerance problem. And like we all learn a valuable lesson about gluten intolerance.
Right.
And it's like, okay, maybe
we shouldn't be so intolerant to gluten.
That's right. Gary Gluten shows up in town and that's the way that goes.
Poor guy.
Well, something I like about, when you're saying, what's the name of the character from Archie who dated, from Josie who dated Archie?
Valerie.
Is you got a legitimate reason for them to get together as a couple.
Right.
Whereas Betty and Veronica, it seems like they get together because they're the only girls in town who aren't Ethel, and that's why they're together.
Hey, there's Midge.
Yeah, Archie likes them because they're pretty likes her a little bit because she's rich and she bakes him a pie. But it's like, wait a second, as like a modern couple, they have similar interests and can actually talk about stuff. And this makes sense in a way that, maybe the other characters, don't as much in modern times.
Right.
You got to find like a legit reason why Archie would be dating Betty and Veronica and not be the biggest jerk in the world.
Right. Right. And it makes, they make more sense as a couple. Like, Valerie's probably the first real threat to Betty and Veronica in the history of Archie comics.
They tried with Cheryl Blossom.
But Cheryl Blossom is
she's a redhead.
Right. And with Cheryl Blossom, it's like we all know she's like a sexy vamp and she's a threat in that kind of a way. But, you know, there's no long-term relationship with Cheryl down the road.
No, that's fine. Has there ever been, because he also had the, you know, Archie gets married in the future kind of stories. Those were very, very popular. And you got to see what happened. Did he ever marry Cheryl in one of these scenarios?
No. The only scenario where he married, well, we showed a glimpse of that. And in the Archie, we did an Archie Valerie four-parter. And in the last part of that, because Archie does marry Valerie,
right?
In one of those issues, but it's like her trip down memory lane where she sees this happening, where they have a kid and everything. So Valerie has like a glimpse of him marrying a bunch of the other Archie women. So she sees him marrying Sabrina.
Oh, okay.
And then it becomes sort of like a kind of like a Bewitched episode where like the aunts are kind of like bigoted towards Archie, and you know, because he's immortal, and then we did show him marrying Cheryl, and of course it just becomes about like, you know, Cheryl trying to get on a reality show and, you know, making the marriage, you know to her gain. Who else do we have him marry?
I wouldn't have married Midge, right? That wouldn't have.
No, we didn't show
him. I married Midge would be a great 50s TV show.
I
married Midge.
You're right. I just picture him trying to marry Midge, and then you show him in Traction in the hospital.
So. You're right, exactly. Yeah, Midge is another character I never understood in all the years of Archie. She just sort of let all that stuff happen. Like, you know, she'd be.
Yeah.
She's like, cool with it. She just looks the other way while this guy's getting pounding.
Right.
Like, I think you flirted with this guy hardcore for the first two-thirds of this story. And
she knows Reggie's going to get pounded. But, you know, she'll sit there and, you know, like he's putting his arm around her and like, you know, kissing, you know, he's like kissing her and stuff. And then Midge, Moose comes and beats the crap out of Reggie. And everyone thinks it's just Reggie being a jerk. Like Midge kind of is playing a part in this.
Absolutely.
Midge really hates Reggie. I mean, come on, we all hate Reggie, so you know she's just part of that. She is our proxy for getting Reggie beaten up somehow.
Yeah,
because it's Reggie. Come on, guys.
I think Midge is the untapped character. I think there's a dark history behind Midge.
Not Moose.
No, Moose is. I think Moose is pretty straightforward.
How many appearances does Dilton Doily make these days? That'd be my question.
He's in there quite a bit.
Oh, is that
right? Yeah, Dilton comes in a lot. We use him a lot. Like I've used him in the Kevin book a few times, and even the Archie Meets Glee. He had a big part in that because. In the Archie Meets Glee, it's like two worlds kind of collide. Like there's like the Glee universe and the Archie worlds like meld.
Yeah.
So of course it's you know, Dilton comes up with the contraption that can transport, you know, people from each world.
Oh,
So Dilton's always the one you go to when you need to figure out something.
So Ian, they're not in the Archieverse.
No, they're connected. Like it's all.
But
it's
a machine that has to be built to connect them. So they're not really in the Archieverse.
All right, fair enough. All right,
yeah, they kind of.
This is one of those situations when I was seeing the Glee comics that I wish someone, I don't know, had the money to do it. But like take the Glee characters and do them in the old 60s Archies, sugar, you know, type situation, and like let's see this animated because I would love to hear the songs. Both of them would be going on. Did you ever see?
You know, Sugar. I just want to say Sugar is an okay song.
Yeah,
it's okay, but Everything's All Right from the album Jingle Jangle by the Archies.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great song.
Hmm.
Like a seriously great song. Like Sugar. I know it's popular, but who here isn't tired of hearing it? I have my hand up. Anyone else? But Everything's All Right. I hardly recommend that you YouTube it, listeners.
Hmm.
Did you ever see the Archie TV special Back to Riverdale?
The one in 1990?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, it was awful. Oh.
It was quite awful. Like, that seemed like one of those attempts to make the characters more relevant in a way that you've actually done now. Like, this is how you make them relevant.
Mm-hmm.
How you don't make them relevant is get them involved in a sex farce with, I think, either Veronica or Betty was in a shower while someone else was coming in and, you know.
Yeah, I think Veronica was in a towel. And
where was the vicar?
no one was a vicar.
And there was a really, like, really horrible scene where, like, Jughead was rapping with his son.
Oh,
Sugar.
One of the worst things that's ever been on television.
It is. It was horrible. And I remember at the
time. If you'd been doing it to Everything's All Right, it would have been okay.
Yeah. It was really hard to watch. And it's harder to watch even now. Like if something didn't age well, it's that movie.
Yeah.
Well, to me, one of the problems with doing something like that is giving voice to those characters who have been in your head for so long to actually have to hear them speaking it wouldn't be enjoyable to me at all. I'm not actually interested in that aspect.
One thing I hated about the 60s cartoon was the voices. And some were all right, but Veronica was the worst. She had this like Southern Belle voice. Veronica was not
Southern Belle at all. You're actually surprising me by telling me there was an Archie cartoon.
You've seen the video for
I've seen
Sugar
Josie
Sugar.
And Yeah, I guess so. But
then
they're not talking.
Seen the cartoon, basically.
But they're not talking. I thought it was some sort of.
But if you YouTube some of it, you'll just trying to find a scene with Veronica, and she's got this stupid Southern Belle voice.
Okay.
It's not fitting at all.
Jughead's voice is pretty good.
Yeah.
Archie's is a little too this, like a little too much of that business. Jughead, bang on.
Is that right?
Be better. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Reggie, all right. And then they had spin-off ones. They had one which was Archie's America, where it was Archie's ancestors that were directly involved with a lot of things in history.
So Archie, as an animated cartoon, came before Josie and the Pussycats?
I would believe so.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, actually, yes, it did.
And before Josie in Outer Space.
Yes. So Archie came on in, like, I think it's 1968 is when Josie... I mean, 1968 is when the Archie show started.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then I think Josie and the Pussycats started in, like, 70, I want to say, 1970?
That sounds
maybe
about
that's
right.
True.
Yeah.
And then they did, like, a season of that. And then they did a season of... Josie in Outer Space.
Right.
And then Sabrina started around that
time,
too.
That's right, yeah. Sabrina was also on the Archie show.
Right.
And then there was, like, there was an Archie, like, joke hour or something. There was, like, almost a straight Archie show, I believe. Then there was Archie's Funhouse?
Archie's Funhouse.
Yeah, something like that.
Then there was U.S. of Archie.
That's what I was thinking
about. And then
there
was Archie's TV Funnies.
Okay, yeah, where he had Dick Tracy, Smokey Stover,
Broomhilda.
That's right.
Wow.
Where were you, bro? Outside playing like
I think
a jerk?
So. Because I had to play soccer. Soccer was Saturday mornings when I was a kid.
You were probably at your pool, like reading the comic books.
I hated soccer because I missed Scooby-Doo.
That was back in the days when the only time you could get cartoons was on Saturday morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what they did with the Archie's, the comic strip one, was they would take all the comic strips no one wanted to make comics cartoons out of.
Yeah, cigar-smoking witch.
Well, and Smokey Stover, every kid's favorite.
Cats and Jammer Kids.
That's right. Yeah. But they called it the Captain and the Kids.
There had a dual name that strip actually,
right? Because people didn't like Germans for a reason for a short period of time.
That's right.
And then there was like basically nothing until that terrible special, and always been talk of an Archie movie.
Yeah,
and there were some live action Archie specials in the 70s too. There was three or four of them. They were and actually in one of them, David Caruso from NYPD Blue was cast to be Archie.
Okay, just blew my mind.
And
Keep going.
They hired him, and then for some reason, he backed out because he got some other job. And then they had to hire someone else. But he was originally cast in it.
Okay, so there's no footage of him doing a screen test or anything
Don't know.
Okay, let me just say this to our listeners. If anyone has access to that footage, please, please do a CSI Miami-type riff with Archie.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah, please do that, like, immediately. Get on that.
I was trying to think of one. Nothing came in my mind. I was trying to think of a... It looks like it must have been a something. I just could not come up with it. I'm desperately.
Oh, and then of course there was the Sabrina TV show, very successful. And then there was a Sabrina animated series after that. And there was also something else that's slipping my mind. That's really, really obvious with the Archie characters. And I've completely blanked on it. So carry on, Dave.
Too bad for you, because I don't know. I'm sorry. I do remember Sabrina the Teenage Witch as a television program.
Yeah, Sabrina's had a lot of success. And but that Archie live action thing, I think there was three of them made. I remember being excited as a kid. There was
Josie and the Pussycats movie. Sorry.
Oh, the Josie movie. That's right.
Which actually is a better movie than people remember.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's a good film.
I think so too. I thought it. I know we saw it with the Archie folks, and most of them hated it. But I thought.
Oh, really?
I thought it was kind of satirical and funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they hate it? Like this.
I don't know exactly. I think they thought it was not like the comic, but I think you couldn't make it like the comic, and
Yeah.
I don't know. I just remember thinking it was sort of clever, and there was some really funny parts.
And they had something sort of to say about the
packaging,
the music
bands,
industry,
and merchandising.
Yeah.
And Parker Posey was lots of fun in that, and had Alan Cumming, I think his name was.
Alan Cumming.
Zaria Dawson, yeah.
And that great the great scene with the boy band, and just as they decide they're going to start to write their own material and stuff like that. It's just like, he puts on his parachute, jumps out of the plane and leaves them to their to their doom. I mean, it's a fun film.
Well, if they ever do an Archie movie, like when I saw that one, it's like, oh, well, now you know how to do an Archie movie, which is you've got to have something to say about youth culture, which isn't just young people's new things are dumb.
Yeah.
Don't just say that because that's just ridiculous.
We already know that.
No, we don't know that at all. But like actually have something to say and then get Riverdale to say it. And you can actually pull it off because you just showed you could pull it off with Josie and the Pussycats, which... I think was sort of successful at the time.
I think it was successful on video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to say, my daughters love that film. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love that film.
Like, I think if they did an Archie movie, follow some slight example from remember the Brady Bunch movies?
Yes.
Yes.
They kind of made fun of themselves. Mm-hmm. You just can't not make fun of the Brady Bunch in this day and age. So, yeah. I mean, I think if they kind of do a little bit of making laugh at themselves type of thing, it's you know, it goes a long way.
Well, now in the comics, they've gotten, I was talking about my first Archie comic was surprisingly dark with gruesome deaths.
It was.
Now let's go full circle to now, and you pick up an Archie comic now, and there's Afterlife with Archie, and which is way darker than you would expect it to be. every review I've read of it has been like, this is, one, darker than I thought, and better than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing the Archie characters as there's a zombie infestation going on.
Wow.
And some characters are dying in very, very bad ways, starting with Hot Dog. Hot Dog, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're seeing like, oh, what's this going to be like? Open it up. Hot Dog's been killed. What? Huh? And things go from there.
Because if Jughead became a zombie, there would be no end of eating.
Well, he did. He was the first zombie.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then there was a gruesome scene. I guess I can talk about it because this issue's already out now. But in the fourth issue where Archie kills his father.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dark times.
His father's a zombie. You got to kill the zombies. His dad's a zombie. So it's like he bashes them. I think it was with a bat, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, it's...
I'll have to look for these.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah.
And then there's like this... is it Midge? Ginger Lopez.
Oh, is Midge? Is something going on with Midge in this?
Well, Ginger Lopez and Nancy have like a secret gay love affair going on. Like a Brokeback Mountain kind of... teenage girl love affair going on, which I don't know why they can't tell anybody. They're both they're like having this secret affair, and then Cheryl Blossom and Jason are having this like incestuous relationship going on.
Wow!
So things have really taken a turn.
Things have taken a very dark turn. This you won't see in a digest next to like a 50s story.
You won't be mixing those and what have you.
Maybe they can revive those horror ones and do digest with those. 60s. I just wanted to, when you were talking about the thing, it made me think of the Spire comics.
Mm.
When you're saying how sexy, what's funny about those is the religious message of them combined with the really sexy images, because that L, I can't remember his name.
Al Hartley
could really draw a sexy Betty.
Well, he drew them with these torpedo boobs.
Yeah.
They were like these torpedo
That's
bras.
Where the Spire came from.
Yes. Spire. Yes.
And I remember that too. Well, I remember in those comics too, they could, I guess since they were railing against drugs and sex, they could show it.
Yeah.
Yes, so, that's the old gimmick with any of those old films.
So they talk about, you know, like Betty be looking at someone like scoring acid outside in the bushes outside the school. And, you know, because they were against it. So it was one thing. And then they were like talking about, and then Betty was a real pain in the ass in those stories because, you know, somebody would be doing something and Betty was always the one to start quoting scripture.
That's right off the bat.
Right off the bat. You know, like, you know, right. She knew the verse and the...
Yeah. Big Ethel, I remember the first one I read, it was like a regular Archie comic. I knew there was... I didn't know there was any difference
too.
I was reading it, and page two, Big Ethel's having some problems, and Jughead just doesn't care for her. It's like, well, you know, sometimes I just want to kill myself. Maybe I will. What? Says I, turning page. And then Betty brings out a Bible, and as you say, is quoting scripture. Mm-hmm. What again? Says I, turning page. And it's like, okay.
It's a shocker when you're a kid, and, you know, because they would just get mixed in, and stores would, like, you know, as a kid, you could go into secondhand bookstores,
mm-hmm.
and they would have tons of coverless comics there, you know, for a dollar, for a gajillion, you know, mm-hmm. and so you'd buy piles of Archie to take home and read. And then mixed in with them would be this weird anomaly, this Spire Archie, which was kind of, you know, I guess it was a sheep in wolf's clothing, because, you know, it was right in the middle of, you know, start reading it, and then you're just like, wait, what's going on here? What's happening? Why?
Yeah, and they were like, they let Al Hartley license that out, to Spire.
Yeah.
And because he became born again, I guess it was like in the early 70s, and wanted, you know, that was his thing. And, the story just making me laugh.
As someone who both writes and draws Archie, what are the stories like to you? Yeah.
Oh, they're just so funny. I mean, they're just so ridiculous. I mean, I mean, I have friends who are Christians and they don't like start spouting out like, you know, scripture every time they see something, you know?
Yeah. It'd be like a Spider-Man comic where halfway through, Spider-Man tries to convert Dr. Octopus and just like, have you thought of Jesus? What? No, I have not. But you know, now that you mention it, that's a good idea.
Remember what it says in John chapter 8, verse 16. Like,
let me web it up for you.
Let me, I'll write it up and web on the wall. Yeah, it's a very strange thing, and you're right. It just feels really awkward, and he must have come out of that phase at some point, because there is like a honeymoon phase to your religious experiences, where you're just completely enraptured in what you've discovered and want to tell everyone you meet about it, and then you'd calm down.
Well, I think they did about 30 issues, but they were massively reprinted because Christian bookstores for years were reordering them. They went through massive.
Is that
printings.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And then Al, he was doing some stuff back for Archie in the 80s, you know, when I started working there. So
he must have drew himself out doing all those Spire, because it wasn't just Archie. He was doing tons of other titles under the Spire.
Yeah, he was drawing them all.
Yeah, it's amazing how much
Tom
work he was
Landry
doing.
Tom Landry comics. And,
yeah,
he's a very good artist. Let's throw that out there.
No, he's very good.
And
he's
then good. On the some of the Spire ones, John D'Agostino inked some of them, and he was like the Archie house inker at the time.
Okay.
So that's how come they look just like an Archie comic, because it was the regular Archie team. But when it was always like Betty with the torpedo boobs and Veronica, you know, spouting scripture, it just didn't seem right.
Yeah, or it seemed very right.
That is always the trick, though, to those old-timey things, is like, we're going to make it as sexy as possible off the top, and this is what you shouldn't do.
That's right.
So, you know, a spoonful of sugar makes the scripture go down.
I guess.
But I remember when there was a place in the grocery store that had all those comics.
Yes, the spin
and
rack.
There was always, you know, other ones that, you know, there was two brothers who were fleeing from something, but used Christianity, good for them. But then they'd also have like things licensed from DC Comics, because they had a Superman one, and they were connecting Superman to Christ and going like, well, you know, and then this father sent his son. Speaking of which, there was another father that once sent his son to Earth. Okay, anyway, he was a simple farmer. Hey, you know who else was simple and was poor? Was this fellow. And
really?
It's like all the parallels between Superman. And
that's
I believe
amazing.
They tried to do it with Star Wars as well. There was all these pop culture things.
Yeah, well, they did
Archie with, was the most popular, but
they,
then...
They did do it with Star Wars. And I think kind of more surreptitiously, I remember my friend had a book equating the Force with Christianity, you know, but it was just written by a guy who was not, it wasn't licensed by, it was just his opinion of, but yeah, you're right. It was weird. That was kind of the last time that our culture was homogenous enough that you could have that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, nowadays that would not fly at all, to license characters to become spokesmen for, you know, for one religion, you know, that this wouldn't fly.
No,
it's not that it's
no.
offensive. To every, you know, it would just be offensive that, because people would get mad. It's like, well, why not why can't Islam have Archie doing that? Well, okay, you can. Well, then other people would be mad. Well, Christian would be mad. Why is he saying, spouting off stuff for Islam? Well, you know, he's supposed to be a Christian, you know, and so it's just kind of like, forget it all. Let's just get rid of all that stuff. And like our culture,
and
this
have
isn't
him
the same.
Beat his dad to death with a baseball bat. Like good old family
it's
values.
It's just weird. The 70s had that time. I mean, you had, you know, the Doobie Brothers, Jesus Is Just All Right With Me. You had Godspell. You had Jesus Christ Superstar. You had Archie Comics. You had all these, you had that Superman comic you're mentioning. We just lived at this particular moment where everything became homogenous enough and popular enough that you could have this little kind of mini explosion of popular Christianity, and now forget about it. You know, it could never happen again that way, because our culture is just way too broken up and, you know, too fragmented to have that kind of, everyone agrees for this 1 minute, we're going to let these guys do what they want. Oh, otherwise we'll whine forever.
Also, Jack T. Chick ruined comics for everybody. They just went, we don't want to.
I love those.
You love them, but,
I love
you
those
know,
comics.
They ruined it for that thing.
Those Crusaders ones, have you ever seen? Like those Crusader ones, like that hyper-real style drawn by that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't drawn by Jack T. Chick, it's drawn by some guy that worked for him. I think he was a black artist, and he just drew these hyper, super realistic looking. And the Catholics in those are just so disgustingly real. So you can just feel the hatred. Oh, just feel it. Oh, it's terrible. I remember one time when I was selling encyclopedias in Alberta, this really kind family invited me in for pancakes. And they were really nice people. They're Christians, and I had pancakes with them. And when I was leaving, she gave me this book called Smokescreens, and it was just like the most scurrilous hatred of Catholics that you could ever imagine. And you just felt like it just ruined everything. It's just like you're leaving someone's house and they punched you in the face at the door. You know what I mean? This is what it felt like. You know, I just accepted it from her and I walked away. But I was so disappointed, you know, that all that kindness.
That's the trick. As with the Archie comics, with the sexy, then it gives you at the end, you in with the pancakes.
I don't know if the pancakes are that sexy, but yeah, I know what you mean. But I passed it on to a person who kind of collected that sort of nutty stuff. But
now, okay, so Archie's got your zombies. It's got it's got a more diverse group of people. We can time travel if we want and see what Archie is like in the future. So what's going on now? What's the next step then for?
Well, let's see. What are we working on now?
That you can say. Don't worry.
I'm just trying to think what stuff we're working on. I mean, we're doing some new stuff with Kevin. We're doing a superhero comic with him.
Oh, what's going on with that?
There's Pure Heart the Powerful, and all the other characters get their superhero alias.
Right, Archie is Pure Heart the Powerful. Reggie is Evil Heart. I'm trying to try and remember all these. Betty. Oh, what's Betty? Super Teen. Betty Veronica Super Teen? Is nothing.
Really, she's.
I don't think Veronica.
What about Hot Dog?
I think Veronica just has enough money that she gets someone else to fight for.
She later on. Later on in the years, they made her like this character called Miss Vanity. And then, which kind of sucked. And then in the Kevin book,
she had the power of proxy. That's what I thought. Yeah, right.
She's a power teen. Is it power teen? Yeah, and the power teen.
Okay.
And she's kind of with Kevin fighting crime and screwing things up.
Oh, so nice. That's her thing. And what's his superhero name?
Equalizer, of course.
Oh, nice one.
And then Jughead, of course, is Captain Hero. You don't want to forget that.
That's right.
But so we're doing that, and it's very silly. It's not, we're not taking it real seriously.
No, that would be strange if you did that. Right, really dark and hard.
Yeah, right. No, it's not dark at all. Not dark at all.
You're not going to hire Gray Morrow to do that.
No. And one thing we've got coming up is we're doing next year. It's going to be Lena Dunham from the show Girls.
Right.
Is going to be writing a four-part Archie story.
Now, how much nudity will be in the book?
Lots of it. Every turn, there's going to be just some like sitting in Pop Tate's nude.
Yeah, I was just listening to W's.
A new name for the pop shop.
That's right. I was just listening to WTF, and she was on there, and she mentioned there's going to be writing because she's a big fan of Archie.
Right, right.
Yeah, and you can sort of you could almost see that with Girls. You could do a breakdown, and of course, I don't think Archie should do a Girls crossover with Archie. I don't think that's the
And that's not what's going to be at all.
No, and it shouldn't be.
No, she's
but
just going to.
If you wanted to parallel the characters, you probably could.
Well, I did a print. I did a poster for the like a promo advertising it.
Yeah.
When they announced Lena Dunham, they wanted to do like a piece of promo art. So I just used the promo from their first season of the show, where the four of them are sitting on a couch. And I have Betty as the Lena Dunham character, and her other friend, who I can't remember her name on the show.
I can't either, sorry.
But she's the snooty rich one, of course, is Veronica. Right. But there is sort of like a parallel
to
each character.
Well, I guess Archie has become such an archetype that those characters can really resonate in any kind of situation, not just Archie, but take those combinations and put them into any show, and people are like, I know this.
Well, that's a cheat I've used on sitcoms when I've had to write things. You know, if I have to write a sitcom pilot in a certain genre, I will usually just go, my loose first draft is usually, I'll name them after the Archie characters. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's your protagonist, there's the sweet girl, there's the mean girl, there's the guy who's trying to get him into trouble, and there's the crazy guy who's just like, wild card. That's your Jughead. And that's, that's 90% of all sitcoms. Mm-hmm. You can break that down into the Mary Tyler Moore Show. You can break that down into Cheers really easily.
Yeah.
There's a reason that those archetypes play so well.
Yeah.
But I'd say like Archie is probably the longest lasting of those. Like old timey radio shows would probably have. You could break them down into those characters
Huh? Just think about that. How come Archie outlasted, say, Harvey? Harvey had like, in the 70s, Harvey was going strong and had a gajillion Richie Rich titles. Yeah. It had all these super strong characters.
That's true.
That still, exist in our imagination, Casper and to the biggest degree, I would say, but Richie Rich as well. And they somehow lost the plot at some point. Is that what happened? And whereas Archie was able to.
Well, I think what happened with Harvey was, I know in the late 70s, their sales started to go down, and there was like only 80 Richie Rich titles instead of 180, but they started to like condense them. And then in the early 80s, there was some kind of squabble going on with the two Harvey brothers
that
ran Harvey Comics. So they stopped publishing for like a year or two.
Okay.
And I think that was the death of them they did come back in the mid 80s once they figured out what was going on.
But they drew them weird then. Like it seemed revamped almost, and things were, people were a bit too tall. Like, I mean, there's been Richie Rich has been brought back a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And like, that doesn't look like Richie Rich.
Well, then they brought it back again in the early 90s when this other guy bought out the company.
Right.
But when, so like when Harvey tried to, I think that 2 years that Harvey was gone killed them because they probably lost a lot of their newsstand distribution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where, you know, Archie has always never lost its
spell. It's always been right at the grocery store. It's right there. The impulse right
at,
buy.
Right at the checkout stand.
Right at the checkout stand. Exactly. Yeah. I know I've got to take my daughter home. I got to take my son home. And like, I just wanted to be quiet in the car.
Yep.
There. Done. Back seat. Enjoy.
We have piles of them at home because I love Archie and I always wanted the girls to love Archie. So. Every grocery store trip, a double digest came home with us because Dad liked them too. So,
but yeah. I think that also the difference between Archie and Casper or the Harvey characters are they skew a bit younger. Whereas I think one of the reasons that people you know liked reading the Archie comics where they were about older kids, and that's kind of the thing we're always told, like in animation, is you know kids will watch older characters, but they will never watch younger characters.
Right, and a lot of the big thing of Archie is with our main audience is still young girls. Who are thinking ahead to like high school and what they want to be and stuff. And that's, that's all. And then I think they said every 5 years we bring in like a new group of readers, which is why with the digests, they sort of are like in a 5 year cycle of reprints. They're trying not to reprint anything within that 5 years.
Okay.
But then they can reprint again within the next 5 years because it's a new group of readers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so deep. Yeah. And the digests have always been a good deal, you know, whereas I think like a lot of the other comics, there weren't a lot of like, you know, Harvey Digest.
Harvey did Digest for sure.
I know they did Digest, but for some reason I remember like the Archie ones were super thick.
Yeah. The double Digest.
Well, the Harvey ones got cheap because they started using regular cover paper, like cover stock. Like, you know, like the Archie covers are the hard, like the cardboard kind of feeling, the hard stock. Mm. And then Harvey Digest were like that at first. And then they tried to get cheap.
Yeah.
Because then they had like this, the same flimsy covers that regular comics had. And they didn't feel as thick as the Archie ones.
Yeah.
Although they were, I think that once again, when Harvey stopped publishing, the Harvey Digest went away too.
Yeah, yeah.
And once you lose newsstand distribution, it's hard to get it back.
Yeah.
Right.
And you've lost continuity because you've lost a generation of people who would be picking those up at the newsstand.
Mm-hmm.
And habit is so important, you know.
Well, and
so,
there's no new reason for them to read Casper. Like there were, I mean, there's been a number of films. One of them, you know, did I mention I wrote a cat? Anyway, it's been those films, but those films don't actually, like if you watched a Richie Rich movie or watched a Casper movie, those don't jive at all with the characters in the comics.
Yeah.
You know, because Casper in the comics is not a dead child.
Right.
Whereas they made that weird choice in the movie to go with that.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so he's a... He's a dead kid, eh? All right, we're gonna go with that instead of just he's just a ghost, and that's
I just wondered what the backstory was, and when you say that, I mean, there are so many stories. There's a famous chain store in British Columbia called Woodward's, and that was the same thing. The family started fighting. End of store. End of chain. You know, like doesn't matter that you're in 10 different places. Once you start fighting, and everything gets blown apart and put into probate, and everything's all, you know, just forget about it. So.
And I think in publishing, you know, you go away for 2 years or whatever it is. It's just, it's like the death knell right there, you know, especially when you're on the decline anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's possible they could have got it on the upswing, you know, or done something to change it. But,
They came back for a few years and then they were just gone. And they sold Harvey to this guy, Jeff Montgomery, bought it in the early 90s. And then they, once again, they were trying to do, they brought back most of the titles with reprints, a few new ones. Then they were doing crazy stuff like Wendy and the New Kids on the Block.
And
Saved by the Bell comics.
Yeah.
They were publishing all like the Hanna-Barbera titles and the Flintstones. Like Harvey was, but it was, I guess it lasted for a couple years.
Yeah. I feel sorry for the Flintstones. Those guys have had a rough ride. Like it seems like they have buried so many comics companies that have just gone, you know, oh, Marvel's got the Flintstones and it's going to be part of this line. Oh, okay, boom. You know, they keep coming back. They keep going away. I want to ask a nerdy question while I still got you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe you're going to ask a nerdy question.
Here's a nerdy question. What's going on with Little Jinx?
Little Jinx.
How's she doing? Like, I've heard that she's now, she's grown up somehow.
Yeah.
Right.
Big Jinx.
She's a teenager.
Okay.
And they've done two trade paperbacks with Jinx. Now she's Jinx, not Little.
She's just Jinx.
Just Jinx.
We ditched the link. As with Little Archie, you reach a certain age in a young person's life.
Yeah.
You have your little mitzvah, and they remove the little from you, and then you are a full grown teenager.
So they don't do Little Archie anymore?
They do occasional stories.
Okay.
And they'll put one in a digest here and there.
Sure.
Jinx is just, she's in those two trade paperbacks.
Yeah.
Now she's like a preteen getting into trouble.
Okay.
And, I'm not sure if there's another one in the works or not. I think they were pretty well received, so there may be one in the works. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah, that's the, you know, the little got taken away.
Just yeah, like, as it does.
And I always thought it was weird. Little Archie was called Little Archie. Like they actually called him Little Archie.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like his father was named Archie too, where they called him Little Archie.
Well, I originally thought when I was a kid, I thought this was Archie's
You're right.
son.
I never thought of that.
Because there's no reason to call someone Archie unless there's another Archie and you yeah. differentiate. So I went, oh, this is the adventures of Archie's son. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought. And then it was like, oh, and these are his other friends must have had children as well.
And
coincidentally, never moved out of town. And they all now have fun and have adventures. Like, no, that's Archie. And it bugged me as a kid because he was playing video games. I'm like, well, these are the video games of now. How old is Archie? So does Archie take place in the future? You know, this messes me up.
It's true. Yeah,
Little
Archie.
I never thought about it.
Yeah, there was, I think there's some 90s stories of Little Archie. It was all contemporary stuff like skateboarding
Absolutely.
And video games. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm going out to see the movie that's playing now. Then what does that mean to me? You know, what's the deal with that? But yeah, the old Little Archie stories,
it's
by the way.
It's called a five-year cycle, Ian.
Yeah, those are worthwhile if you want to go catch some of those. Those are some great adventure stories, the Little Archies.
Yeah, oh yeah, they're really good.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask what Little Jinx, or Jinx, is it still drawn in that weird style that the old Jinx is
really? No, okay. No, it's drawn in a more realistic style. Okay. Really well drawn. Oh my God, is it Rick Burchett? Drawing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and really nicely drawn.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah,
really nicely drawn. And the old style was weird. Yeah, Joe Edwards drew it. He was a good artist, but she was drawing it very strange.
He purposely drew it in a kind of very. His original orders must have been, don't draw it like Archie.
Mm-hmm.
Make it as different from Archie as you can. So he's like, okay, I'll draw it like it's been drawn by a person with a felt pen pressed as hard on the paper as possible.
Yeah. And some of the old Little Jinx stuff was drawn much different.
Yeah.
It was drawn more, you know, like kind of like Little Archie, really well rendered and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, I remember those ones. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after a while, it just was like, you know, and then they just like kind of threw these one pagers all over the place.
Yeah.
And she had a few issues of her own, but she never made it in her own issue, in her own magazine for very long.
Well, then she would have been Big Jinx.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's broken light for every. Hard on, I don't know, Art Riverdale? I got no idea.
So you've lost it.
Trying to wrap it up
it's
with something like philosophical.
It's Sunday.
We've all, look, let me just say, thank you for like having us in your hotel this late in the thing. We're all very tired. you've done a lot, been entertaining people. Is there anything that you would like to plug that's coming up for you or something people can pick up?
We just finished the Archie World Tour where, the Archies and Josie and every other band, like the Madhouse Glads. We brought everybody in.
Are the Madhouse Glads back?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. We just did this four-parter from Archie 650, 653. And we did a world tour. We brought everybody. We even brought, Bridgie, who's a character I created like from like 15 years ago. She's a singer. We brought her back in. Anybody who
does that Wilkin boy have a band?
He does.
What is the name of the band?
The Bingos.
The Bingo, there you go. Okay.
The Bingos are in the story too.
Okay.
Bring every character in, and then I have to end up drawing the thing.
Yeah.
So they're all in this story, and it's a big world tour. It was four issues, and then that's the trade paperback comes out in May or June of that collection.
Great.
So that's the next thing coming out, and
a good time to ask your retailer to put one aside for you would be
that's
now.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And then I'm working on this Betty and Veronica six issue storyline where they leave Riverdale.
Oh.
Oh, right. I heard a little something about that. And so what's, yeah, that's
do they
kind
have
of
to cross
deal.
A giant desert to get out of Riverdale?
No. Okay. They become foreign exchange students. So they go over to Europe.
Wow.
So they're out of Riverdale. So we'll see like kind of simultaneously their adventures in Europe mm-hmm. and then what happens in Riverdale without them.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course they'll be replaced with two more girls Archie will be chasing, you know, like very quickly.
And is there a European version of Archie they'll be dealing with over there?
There'll be guys. Yeah, there'll be several guys.
You know what? I think they could do better than Archie. I think that's good for them. Good. Well, get out there.
Start looking, you know.
Yeah, start looking. Especially Betty. She needs to be more worldly. Good for her.
Yep. So nice. We'll see what Betty, you know, tramp it up in Europe.
Come back with a couple of tattoos.
Right.
We'll see how it goes. And that will be called it will just be called the Betty and Veronica comic.
It's in the regular Betty and Veronica comic. It's
called Euro Disco Betty.
I forgot what the story is. I forgot the name of the story, to be honest with you. It's like Goodbye Betty and Veronica or something. Farewell Betty and Veronica, I think it's called.
Okay.
So, and Michael Uslan's writing that, who wrote The Archie Wedding.
All right.
Okay.
And he's writing that, and it starts in Betty and Veronica, like 272, and it starts in June.
Okay, cool.
And that'll go, it's 6 issues, so it'll go on until next year.
All right. So again, ask your local retailer to put one aside for you.
I know we're trying to wrap the show up and we started doing the plugs, but I just had one question to ask, which made me, when you said that, made me want to ask, do you edit yourself, or do you have like a group of people that get together to discuss how you want to take the stories? Or do you just kind of put things together yourselves and then pitch them to say, John Goldwater, or how does it work there?
Sometimes I'll write down synopses for different stories, and then I'll give them to them, and they'll pick the one they like.
I see.
But a lot of it's just sitting down, like with Mike Pellerito, the Archie World Tour thing just came up, just sitting down with him. He liked, John liked the idea of the bands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just sat down with Mike and just fleshed it out, and he said which characters he wanted in there, which is basically every character under the Archie universe he wanted in there at some point. Katie Keene's in there, Sabrina, it's like a joke. I mean, there's just no one who's not in the story. The only one that's not in there is Little Jinx.
Poor Jinx.
Usually it's a matter of writing down a few ideas and then checking off which ones they like. But I've written stories too where I just kind of wing it, and
I see
they'll either edit it a little bit, or sometimes it's a go. You know, one thing, I've been writing the story so long, I sort of know what will work and what won't, what's acceptable.
Yeah.
Like in the old days, I'd write stuff like, you know, the characters weren't like, you know, I thought I knew the characters well, but I would write stuff that, you know, wasn't quite appropriate.
And okay.
Victor would like be like, hey, Veronica wouldn't do that. And I was like, but I think after this, I've been there 27 years now, so I got it down now.
Yeah. You got it down. You're the victor now.
Pretty much.
Nice. All right. Well, let me wrap up for, what is it now, the third time, Dave?
Sure. That's
what I'm going
to
do?
Yeah, you can wrap it up. I have one more question to ask.
The master of the anticlimax. Okay. When you're building a story, by the way, never do that. It's fine. It was a good question. I'm glad
you
asked.
I want my entire life to be like the endings of Return of the King.
multiple
endings. Yeah.
I was watching that last night, and they kept having commercials in between. Just to finish it. Anyway.
Please. Finish it.
All right, then let me say this much. Thank you so much for being on our show. We were very excited that you were going to be on the show. This all turned out very, very well.
Yeah, it was great. Oh, good time.
All right, fantastic. This is Dan Parent is here. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
This has been Sneaky Dragon, America style. this is our last thing that we've done here in America. Maybe not the last thing you'll listen to, because we might mix these up.
Yeah,
but
we don't know what we're doing.
We're going to go get a hot dog and an apple pie.
That's right.
And enjoy as much America as we can
at Pop's
before we have
chocolate
to leave the country
shop.
In about a half hour. So we'll do what we can. Yeah, at Pop's Chocolate Shop. All right, so thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.